Hi everyone, this is a different one. This is a 0-100 podcast sponsored by Sonoco, and we will be talking with the Throttle guys. So first of all, thank you Sonoco for having us here and bringing you guys down to so we could have this opportunity. So first is the founder of Throttle, and we're going to be switching the different guys, and we'll be asking about themselves and stuff. So for one that doesn't know you, what's your name? How did you had the vision to start Throttle? Maybe a bit of your car likings and stuff. So and we'll go from there.
Hi everyone, my name is Evan Beckerman. I'm one of the co-founders of Throttle, and if you don't know what Throttle is, we're an online retailer. We sell over 400,000 car parts for any year, make, and model, basically. Japanese, European, domestic, everything you can think of. And we sort of basically realized very early on that social media was the best way to reach car enthusiasts. So we started a YouTube channel, and we've been building cars ever since. So started the company in 2015. We now have posted, I think, over 1,100 videos on YouTube to date. Our media team, most of which is here today, we have 7 people, and we build everything, and it's a really good time, really great people, and lots of laughs, that's for sure.
I understand one of your brothers is a co-founder, right? Okay. What got you two into cars? Was your father a car guy, or maybe your mother, or you know, a grandpa or something?
So yeah, not really. So my brother and I really got into cars after the first Fast and the Furious movie, 2001. We were into Hondas, always building cars, buying parts, racing them at the track. And from that moment on, I knew we had the bug. So, you know, fast forward many years later, we were trying to find parts for one of our builds we were working on together. We were having a lot of trouble. So we said, there's got to be a better way. How do we make the buying experience for car enthusiasts better? And that's how Throttle was born. Yeah.
By any chance, do you know Hector? Yeah. He got 3 spoon engines. He bought them from Jimmy O. T66 turbos with and a Motec system exhaust. Yeah. So, what was your first build?
My first build was a 1995 Honda Prelude VTEC. I did a JDM motor swap, nitrous. I stripped the interior thinking that was gonna make it faster. But I learned a lot. I did everything myself. My first head gasket, first timing belt, first engine swap, first clutch install, everything. And a lot of trial and error, because this was back in early 2000 days and there wasn't as much YouTube. Not as many instructions and videos. Not as much. So I learned a lot of mistakes, but definitely really happy that I went through that and kind of evolved, you know, from the Honda scene into other Japanese cars and into Euro and everything in between.
So you started with a Japanese car. What got you into the Europeans?
You know what? I don't know. I think at Throttle specifically, I've probably bought 50 cars. We've built at least 50 cars on the channel. And it's almost like we kind of running out of cars to build at this point. We try to not repeat them as many times as we can. It's hard. You know, we've done Supras, NSX, RX-7, Mustang, trucks. We've done so many different builds at this point that we're always trying to think of, you know, what can we build that's different and new so we don't repeat them. So
I think that there's like a list for the next build or for the maybe candidates for the next build, and you guys as a team, you ask and figure what are you going to do next and then decide which you're gonna get, or maybe have more than one at the same time and just schedule the builds.
Yeah, we try to be as planned out as we can because there's a lot of parts that go into each build. And if you're waiting on parts or you're not sure what to do, then YouTube videos, they don't get published, right? Because we can't build them. So we try to be very planned. We usually sit down as a team once or twice a week and go over, you know, the projects that we have planned for the next 2, 3, 4 months. So for this year, we're almost already planned out, for that matter. 10 to 15 builds this year from start to finish. It's a lot. 1 year we did 23 cars. And we've given away to our supporters and fans, we've given away over 23 cars at this point.
And of all those builds, which one would you classify as the most difficult?
The most difficult.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say favorite, because that's so hard. It's so hard. The most difficult. Hey, honestly, some of the builds that have been really difficult are ones that, are just very uncommon. We did a Toyota MR2, for example, or even this past year, Sunoco challenged us to build a Fox Body Mustang in 5 days. And coordinating even the build that we're doing in Puerto Rico has been a big challenge, a new challenge of logistics, shipping from the States, shipping from New Zealand, dealing with customs and paperwork. Oh, yeah. We have a fully built engine coming in from New Zealand that just got released from customs yesterday.
So it's not here yet.
It's here.
I had a theory of what you guys were going to do with the FD, because it's already out, right? And I think by this conversation, my theory is killed off already.
I think because we're at Prestige Performance, and they're very well known for the Honda K-Series, all the Honda builds. They have some amazing projects going on there. I think everyone thought we were doing a K-Series. I'll spill the beans here. It's not going to be a K-Series. It's something very, very, very special that has flown in from New Zealand, and you're going to have to stay tuned for the next episode so you can see that. But it's unbelievable, something we've never done.
Okay, so how does Sunoco fit in the Throttle team and the Throttle content and the Throttle universe?
Yeah, Sunoco has been a partner of Throttle's for, I think, 4 years now. And not only do we use all the fuel and everything, because it's amazing, E85R, we have pallets at our shop. We use so much of it. But they've been a huge supporter for us on the content side and getting involved with these really cool projects. So they're always challenging us, always testing us. Hey, can you do this? Can you do this? And that's what makes it exciting. And we love taking on the challenge. We can build a car in our shop very fast, to the highest caliber, 1,000 horsepower, 1,100 horsepower. But doing these really cool, special projects is always so much fun. And doing it with Sunoco has been just awesome.
How has it been working with Carlos? And I understand you've been eating a lot of Puerto Rican food. I also want to know, what's your favorite food so far from Puerto Rico?
We have been eating our way through Puerto Rico. I have had mofongo, which is amazing, paella. Man, we have been loving the food. Every day we have food or we go out and eat, and it's like try something new every time. So I absolutely loving the food, although I might be gaining a couple pounds. So we'll see. I have to hit the gym when I get back to California.
Carlos, tienes que hacer que prueben tostones de pana. Tienes que, tostones de pana, que los prueben. Tostones de pana, que los prueben. Sí.
Like, we were recommending something to Carlos, so he
was saying, yeah. And how has it been working with Carlos at Prestige for your build?
Amazing. Honestly, the whole team at Prestige is great. They've been super helpful, opening their doors to us. We're going through, we're making a mess. They're letting us use their tools. It's been really, really awesome. There's also often times where, because there's a language barrier a bit, they've gone above and beyond to support the project, make sure we have what we need at all times. We had, when we pulled the car apart, two broken axles, power steering rack that is destroyed. Carlos made one phone call. We dropped the parts off. Next day, they were fixed by a local machine shop. And it's just been, it's like we're involving all of Puerto Rico into the build. It's really cool.
So Sunoco is getting their feet in Puerto Rico just recently. Since you've been working with them so many years, what can you tell us as Puerto Ricans? Because we stick to our brands, And this is a new brand. It has its name. It's huge name, And we all know it's a huge name. But how can you maybe tell us from your side of the story? So people who are listening and watching this video after, they you know, that they're from here, Puerto Rico, they could feel comfortable going to Sunoco Pros, you know, from E85, 94, 100 octane. I think you guys use mostly E85, but if you use that kind of fuel, it means that they fabricate a good product, so.
I mean, the Sunoco name and the brand holds so much weight, right? It's been a very long-term established brand, official fuel of NASCAR. You know, I can speak from our experience. We do run a lot of E85, right? And we have some pretty high horsepower cars that we're running on the dyno or running at the track. And we have a lot of different ECUs and software that can tell us, you know, what's the ethanol rating, right? Sunoco E85R has been so consistent. We have yet to have a single issue with anything from the performance side. And I think that, you know, they lean into performance, they lean into racing. And if they can make fuel that's good enough for NASCAR, for race cars, for all that, you know, you know they stand behind their products, their normal 87, 91, 93, 94 octane, sorry. So it's just reliable, reputable. I can't say enough good things, honestly.
Thank you. So maybe now we should go. Maybe we should go to with the next member. Thank you for the talk.
Hey, Mickey. No, I mean, sure.
Yes.
All right. Hi.
You live or?
Yeah, it's live. We're okay.
We're with Vardy.
Hey, hi. Mickey Andrade.
Great. Nice to meet you. So, Mickey, how you got involved in throttle?
Well, you want me to hold this or? Okay. Okay, sweet. So, that's all good. Yeah, so I got started back in 2015 when Evan and his brother Rick came to me and said, hey, we're going to start up this little thing. We don't know what we're going to call it yet. We don't know what we're going to do. We have an idea. Will you do the marketing? And I said, yeah, that sounds like a fun idea. Let's have some fun and play with cars with friends. And here we are today, a big business selling car parts, building cool cars, and putting it all on YouTube, traveling the world, yeah. So
for the people who doesn't know your car style liking and stuff, what are you about in the cars? Like Europeans, Americans, Japanese cars?
Yes, yeah. What's in your garage?
Oh. What type of car do I like? Mostly Japanese. So there's some cars outside of that I do like too, like some American cars, Mustangs, things like that, but mainly Japanese.
I think as car guys, we may be stick with one type of manufacturer brand or something, but we all like cars. So maybe you are a Japanese diehard, but you like Porsches, you like I don't know, BMWs, maybe you like Mustangs and stuff. So it's part of the car culture and stuff. So that's a tough question though. What's in your garage then?
So I like a lot of different Japanese cars. So I had two Mazda RX-7s. I recently sold one, FDs. I really love the shape and I love the rotary engine. So
it's timeless. FD RX-7 is such a timeless shape and design that even though they are from the 90s and maybe Japanese ones are early 2000s, very early 2000s, they are timeless and they are beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. And I could take that one step further and say that most of the Japanese cars from the 90s are still very timeless. Look at the Mark IV Supra, the Skylines, the R33 Skylines, beautiful lines still to this day. So to carry on, I also have the Mazda. I have four Nissans. So I have a R32, R33, R34 GTR, and I have a Nissan Stasia 260 RS, which is basically a Skyline wagon. Yeah. And I also have a Nissan S14 that belongs to my fiance that we built many years ago, like 2006, I think, for the SEMA show. So mainly Nissans, but I do like some Hondas. And I also like Mazdas as well.
Keeping in the line of the 90s cars being so beautiful, my first car was a 92 Honda Civic hatchback. To this day, I still look at them. I see them with nostalgia because I would like to own one again. But also, I do really think it's a very beautiful design and the shape, the lines. It's so rounded. It's like the perfect sizing. And also, I love I love your garage. I'm a station wagon. I like them very much. So the Stagia, it's a different thing in the station wagon world, and that's very cool that you have one. Also, my favorite Skyline is the R32, and you have one, so yeah. What do you use them for? Like, just street, or do you track some of those cars?
Yeah, so the R32 GTR is meant to be a track car. So it's making, right now, currently, it's making just shy of 700 horsepower, and it's capable of well over 1,000 horsepower. But we've just finished it, so we're still tuning it and getting it built up and ready for the Nissan Challenge races in 2024. My R33 is an Autech version four-door, so I've got it set up as a street car because it's very usable, has a full trunk, four doors, very nice to drive every day. Then my R34 and my 260RS Stasia are still in Japan because in America, we can't have those cars until they turn 25 years old. This year, I can have them both. So then they will come to America at the end of the year.
It's the same. We have the same rules here, the 25-year rule. So that's why in the last couple of years, we've been getting like so much R32s, R33s, right-hand drive Supras, right-hand drive RX-7s and stuff. And right now that the R34s became legal, at least the 99 ones, so far we have gotten, I think, three already. I think there's a total of seven that are coming that we know of. And wow, the first one was an N1, R34, yeah.
Yeah, N1, if you guys know your Skylines, the N1s are the rarest of the rare. And some cases, they only made a handful of those, depending on the variation. But to go back to your previous statement about the EG, I also think that is a timeless classic as well. I recently sold mine a couple years ago, and I shouldn't say I miss it, but I definitely miss owning a Honda Civic. So I think at some point, maybe we have the EK, the Freak. I don't know if you guys have seen that we built on the channel. It's a rear-wheel drive EK. So front engine, rear-wheel drive EK. That's where the name came from, the Freak. And so we put like S2000 transmission, S2000 differential, paired with an S1 all-wheel drive rear setup. So that could be rear-wheel drive. And man, is it fun. It looks so cool. Yeah.
So taking it back to throttle, I asked Evan the same question I'm going to ask you. What's been for you the most challenging build you've ever done in throttle?
I don't know that any of them have actually been challenging as far as mechanically. The Freak was pretty difficult because we're taking something that was front-wheel drive and making it rear-wheel drive. But for me, what's hard is getting passionate about a platform or a car that you don't really normally get excited about. So for me, like, the Euro cars are a little bit harder to get into. I'm not a big Audi guy. I'm not a big Mercedes guy. There's just some platforms I think that we're not wired. It's not in our, we don't love it. And so to get motivated to build one of those cars that you're not really into is difficult. So I have to really motivate myself to be like, okay, because I do a lot of the parts acquiring and the overall build aesthetic is part of my job. So
your job basically is the aesthetics and the aero and stuff, the outside of the car?
Yeah, a lot of that falls on my shoulders. There's a lot of input from the whole team, but I'm the one that sits down at the desk and does a lot of the parts ordering and styling of the cars. So to take a car that I'm not necessarily into and get excited about going into the internet to find out what are the inherent problems of the car? What do we need to fix so that this is a good running car? And then, okay, how do I make it look cool? And what parts do we use? I think what's nice is we give a fresh look on a lot of cars because we're not in the scene for that particular car. And you notice a lot of cars come out like Super Mark V, they all sort of look the same. R32 GTR, they all start to look the same because everybody's using the same parts. But when we do one of those and we're not from that scene, we kind of have a fresh eye on the car and we use parts that maybe others aren't using. And that can be a good or a bad thing, but what it ends up being is a unique thing. And I think that's good for us.
The key is making something unique because then you're going to have maybe the criticism that everything is repeated and stuff, and you don't want that. So I think that the type of builds you guys do, you have to strive for the uniqueness. So I think you've been getting that point made, not made, but across, and you've been achieving it. That was the word, achieving it.
So, how you like Puerto Rico so far? What's your favorite thing about Puerto Rico?
Honestly, my favorite thing about Puerto Rico has been the people. Just, you know, obviously, Ricky and I have been very close friends for a few years now, 8 years, something like that. It's been a while. And he always tells me how great it is here, but I've never been, so I can only listen to what he tells me. About getting here for the first time and seeing it for myself and meeting the people and the fans has been amazing. And we've been a lot of places. It isn't always like this. So it's refreshing. And also the food. The food is amazing.
What's your favorite food so far from Puerto Rico?
I don't know how to call it, but I had some chicken dish with garlic sauce and the rice. Not white rice, but like... cooked rice with it looks yellow or orange. Mama,
Ricky,
what's that rice called?
Rice?
Oh, el arroz junto, sí, el arroz junto. Sí. Yeah, el arroz junto es el que empieza con, ¿cómo se llama? Mamo or something, Mamo Rosa.
What?
Yeah, let me not say that.
Mamo.
Oh, okay, so arroz mamposteado has been your favorite food so far. Okay. Sí, Carlos lo confirma. How has it been working with Carlos here in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, you know, we found out we were doing this trip with Sunoco. We were really excited, so we started searching for a partner that we could count on and trust here in Puerto Rico, that if we needed a differential rebuild, or we needed to find a part that was maybe going to be difficult to find, or we needed to use the lift tools, a shop that was well known in the area, had a YouTube presence as well, because that's important to us, because we want to support his business. If he has a YouTube presence, we can push people to go watch his YouTube channel as well. Carlos was the perfect partner for us, and has been. We got here, we've already needed to rebuild axles, we had to rebuild the steering rack, and Carlos was able to, 2 seconds, oh yeah, we can go drop that off right now, it'll be ready tomorrow. Not everyone on the island can pull off those favors, I think. So yeah, he's been great. Hospitality has been amazing. He's literally given us a third of his shop and said, this is yours until you're done. Please use everything. So been awesome.
I saw your video, the first one from the RX-7. How many 10 millimeters have you lost yet?
Actually, all of Carlos's 10 millimeters are still intact. We haven't lost any, but I already started looking. In case we do, I can order them on Amazon and get them here quick.
Okay, so I think now he's taking a picture. So,
please.
Yeah, with Ricky.
Oh, Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky. You. So,
Okay. It's just my eye. And then, so when Ricky started helping me, I made him this
Ricky style.
Very Puerto Rican
style. Okay.
It's like pretty nice. But you get out all the way to style. Looking pretty.
Hey. For a last question before Ricky comes here, have you gotten the chance to walk around the building or not? Not really. I know. But so far, do you have like maybe a scope of the car culture here, and what can you tell us about it?
I can say, I know this is a racing show specifically, so obviously there's probably more race cars here than you would typically find at a normal show like Tuner Evo or something. But one thing I noticed was, I was very impressed with the level of race car builds on the island. Having somewhat limited resources here, being on an island, it's a small island, and it's right. Was neat to see the fit and finish on some of the race car panels and stuff, and the roll cage work and things. There's some real craftsmen here on this island, and I think that might get overlooked a little bit. When you look at these cars as a whole, you might not see that, but you look at them granularly, you see that there are talented race car fabricators here on the island, and they're building really nice stuff. So that was impressive to me.
We like fast cars. Here we have quite a few records, street and just race cars. So yeah, we have a very big rotary culture, and there's a lot of rotary cars that are being built here. Even there's like this thing where you take out your rotary and you just go for a drive on Sundays with a couple of friends, mostly in the mountain side of the island. And yeah, maybe you have 800 or 900 wheel horsepower cars just cruising around for a Sunday drive. Yeah, brap, 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 all the way to the next stop. And yes, we do have some very crafty builders, roll gauges, chassis setup, clutch setup, and obviously engine builders. So yes.
Yeah, it's been very impressive. The little bit that I've seen in my short time here has been outstanding. And I was very pleasantly surprised what I've seen so far.
Yeah. Thank you, Mickey.
They're clapping. Yeah, I'm all. Well, I want to finish. I mean,
básicamente, ahora creo que vamos a switchar a español porque el próximo integrante él es de ascendencia puertorriqueña. Así que maybe la conversación sea un poco más fluida. Vamos a esperar que termine ahí con la persona que se está tirando las fotos y viene por ahí. Aquí está.
Está bien, saludos. Sentarme aquí.
Ok, Ricky, vamos a hacerlo en español, ¿verdad? Habla en español. Cuéntanos, ¿cómo llegaste a Trotel? ¿Qué te motivó a empezar en este proyecto?
Bueno, pues todo empezó hace 5 años, casi 6, actually. Casi 6 años. En un mes van a ser 6 años. Y yo llevo ya conociendo a Mickey ya hace 10, 11 años. Y nosotros siempre nos conocimos en el meet, en los car meets y eso. Y entonces él me llama un día porque él sabe que yo a los rotativos le doy duro allá en California. Yo tengo como 5 carros rotativos y he tenido como 4 FD. Y él estaba haciendo un FD. Y entonces me llamó preguntándome unas preguntas sobre el FD, sobre cambiar las baterías y hacer esto y lo otro. Y le dije, bueno, lo hiciste un poquito mal, pero si lo haces así te sale mejor. O sea, lo que hizo bregaba, pero hay shortcuts para hacer cosas. Y me dice, pues vente, tírate para el shop a ver si... para que me ayude. Y dije, no, pues está bien, pues un amigo ayudando a otro amigo, tú sabes, haciendo un carro, que es normal. Pues bueno, tuve 6 meses con él todos los días, casi hasta las 6 de la mañana, tirándole hasta que terminamos el carro. Después hicimos otro carro más, esta vez se hizo en el canal, los dos hicieron en el canal de Truaro, pero yo no tenía ni estaba interesado en hacerlo en YouTube. Yo, no me metas en cámara ya ustedes, yo no me quiero meter en esas cosas. Bueno, terminé metiéndome en la pantalla y nos fue tan bien que el canal creció tan rápido que me ofrecieron un trabajo part-time. Hice eso por un par de añitos part-time, trabajando full-time 13 horas para el gobierno de federal de los Estados Unidos, y metiéndole 4 o 5 horas en el shop el mismo día, durmiendo 3 horas. Hice eso por 2 años y medio, que al final terminé en el hospital. El cuerpo no aguantó. Sí, entonces a ellos dije, bueno, ya no puedo más nada. Y le dije, o me ofrecen un trabajo full time o me tengo de verdad que ir para el gobierno. Y gracias a Dios me ofrecieron un trabajo, un pagaré bueno full time. Y desde ahí ya llevo ya casi 4 años full time con ellos.
Bueno. Tengo una preguntita media random. Cuando empezaste a salir en cámara, ¿Cómo lidiaste con eso al principio? Porque de estar en ¿sabes? De no salir a Raw, de momento estás saliendo y I guess que estás cogiendo también un poquito de reconocimiento extra en la calle y eso. ¿Te acostumbraste rápido? ¿Fue difícil?
Pues te voy a decir algo. La primera vez en aquel tiempo... éramos más que Evan, Mickey y yo. No había, ahora tenemos 3 editores, 3 que aguantan las cámaras, ¿sabes? Somos 4 trabajando en carro. Ahora, en aquel tiempo, nosotros nos grabamos nuestro mismo, nuestras propias cosas. Y el primer video que yo hice solo fue con la Starlet mía que yo llevé ahí al shop. Y lo hice con la cámara. Y todo lo que yo grababa le daba replay para ver cómo me salió. Y para hacer una bobería me tomé 4 no, 8 horas. Y yo dije, yo no vuelvo a hacer esto. Esto no lo voy a volver a hacer. So, ahora lo que hago es que yo grabo todo y no hago replay a nada. Yo no veo el video hasta que salen en YouTube cuando ustedes lo ven. Porque de verdad que me sentí medio que me estaba atrasando demasiado. Y luckily ahora, cuando yo empecé full time, traemos a Víctor, que es uno de los que está aguantando las cámaras ahora. Y él siempre me hace ver súper cool en el video. Que yo dije, yo no sé cómo Rayer me puso a ver tan cool, porque yo hice una retarde, fue lo que yo hice en ese carro. Pero de verdad se ve muy bien en cámara. So, ahora yo pongo todo el full trust en Víctor, en los editores.
Tú eres puertorriqueño, ¿cierto? ¿Nacido acá?
Sí.
¿Cómo te sentiste cuando te dijeron, mira, vamos para Puerto Rico a hacer un carro?
Sí, yo nací y me crié aquí hasta los 14 años. Después de aquí me fui, mi mamá se mudó para Boston y obviamente uno sigue como un niño. ¿De qué pueblo de aquí era? De Santurce, sí, en Villa Palmera. Entonces, después de Boston, ya yo no aguantaba el frío más nada. Yo dije, yo de aquí yo me voy y me metí al Marine Corps. Y yo dije, después que ustedes me dejen en un sitio caliente, en Hawái, en el desierto, no me importa, pero yo no quiero ver más nieve. Y me sometí y terminé en California y de ahí no me fui. Pero, perdona, ¿cuál fue tu pregunta?
Como que si te alegraste de saber, mira, vamos para Puerto Rico a hacer un carro.
Pues esto, obviamente todo empezó como una idea. Sinoco llega siendo un partner de nosotros y de verdad que nos sentimos ya como familia. Estamos de verdad bien unidos, el expansor de Sinoco y Trotter. Y fuimos a un NASCAR event que estábamos nosotros vacilando como amigos, ni siquiera trabajando. Y salió la suerte que empezaron a decir que empezaron a traer Sinoco a Puerto Rico. Y nosotros dijimos, estaría bien cool porque acabamos de terminar el build en el East Coast de un Mustang que hicimos con Sinoco. El carro se ve más o menos así, pero es un Mustang 5.1, un Fox Body. Ajá. Entonces, ya lo estaría bien cool ir para allá a hacer un carro. Y todo el mundo... Y un año de planificación, pues aquí estamos. Se hizo.
Eso entiendo que fue como para el Chicago Street Race de NASCAR, ¿verdad? Sí, yo vi ese episodio, de verdad, el Mustang me gustó mucho. Pues le pusieron unos race, fueron los aros, si mal no recuerdo. O sea, que tiene ese estilo como un carro americano con aros JDM y se ve bien brutal.
En esa combinación ahí.
Sí. Oye, qué raro que mencionas que en un evento de NASCAR anunciaron que Sinoco entonces llegaba a Puerto Rico. Ok, entonces te pregunto, ¿cómo ha sido ese desenvolvimiento de Sinoco ayudándolo a Throttle en sus proyectos?
Pues empezamos con ellos enviando fuel, obviamente, candungos de fuel, y la relación creció tan grande que los bien altos de Sinoco y nosotros nos hicimos buenos amigos. Ahorita él está mandando mensaje a él, a Fred. Digo, ¿cómo estás? Oh, wishing, how you doing in Puerto Rico? Yo, I'm loving it, bro. It's great. Pues estamos uno de los altos de Sinoco y estamos así como de verdad en los weekends. Digo, ¿qué estás haciendo? Ah, en la calle, en los car meet. So, toda esta gente están todos metidos en carro, por lo menos con los que yo hablo. Y la relación, y ellos ellos traen la marca para aquí, para Puerto Rico, vieron esto como una oportunidad bastante bien y obviamente fue un total éxito porque estas líneas aquí, el soporte que Puerto Rico nos está dando, esto ha sido increíble, increíble. Esta es una de las líneas más grandes que hemos tenido cuando vamos a un car show, un car meet. Sí, bien buena.
Entonces, misma pregunta que le hice a Miki y a Evan. De los builds que ha hecho en Throttle, ¿cuál tú dirías que ha sido el más difícil de todos?
Cada carro tiene algo diferente, ¿verdad? Hicimos un STI hatchback y el goal de nosotros fue hacerlo wide body kit y ponerle unas 315, gomas 315 alrededor, tumbado y que no haga rubbing full lock. Cogimos ese firewall, lo tuvimos que mover para atrás como 6 pulgadas. El carro por poco coge fuego cuando lo estaba soldando. ¿Sabes? Eso fue un challenge, pero nosotros dijimos, eso tiene que quedar de show. Y lo logramos finalmente. Pero eso es uno de las... Cada carro es algo diferente.
Disculpa que extendí mi mano ahí medio random. Dentro del equipo, tú eres un builder... porque, por ejemplo, el compañero que estuvo anterior, él se especializa en el exterior. ¿Cuál es tu fuerte dentro del build?
Pues yo hago un poquito de todo. Yo no te abro un motor y se lo cierro, porque aquí tenemos al Queen, que ese tipo es un master en motores, ¿verdad?
Pero yo te hago custom motormat, yo te hago la suspensión, los frenos, los barricades. Yo no rapeo carro. El que hace el exterior se dedica también a rapear el carro. Yo te instalo computadora, te hago cablería, te hago sistema de sonido, te hago un custom fiberglass, lo que sea. Yo sueldo, yo hago de todo. De todo un poco. Exacto, el Jack of all trades, como dicen allá en los Estados Unidos.
Mickey me dijo que te preguntara, ¿qué es el Ricky Style?
Ay, 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 Mickey. So, lo puedo decir, no importa. El Ricky Style es como si, como un ghetto fight, ¿verdad? Como, like, tú vamos a suponer que tú estás en un drifting y se te cae el bombo y tú coges un montón de zip tie, ¿verdad? Todo lo que da. Y hasta que el zip tie no se rompa, no se cambia, ¿verdad, güey? Eso es un Ricky Style. It works, right? Eso es un quick fix, but it works. Exacto. Eso es el Ricky Style.
Si tú supieras que eso aquí es lo más normal que existe en estos eventos.
Sí, yo creo que parte de la sangre boricua es improvisar y entonces ahí está Ricky, está metido dentro de los views de Throttle.
Ok, pues cuando vamos para Mickey, el Mickey spec es bien profesional, bien de show, bien calidad, no puede estar ni un spec malo, eso es el Mickey spec. Entonces cuando vamos a la pista y algo pasa, obviamente tú no quieres un Mickey spec, ¿verdad? Me dice, Ricky, métele mano. Y yo, Mickey, no mire, porque se pone nervioso cuando me bebe con Ciptide self-tappers, doctor, se pone nervioso. Sí. Entonces digo, Mickey, turn around, I'm gonna fix it. He's like, oh, God. And then he leaves, and then I just fix it in 2 minutes, and then we're back on the track.
Ricky, gracias por compartir con nosotros. Creo que el próximo sería Quinn, es quien... Master Builder. Gracias, Ricky.
Bueno, en lo que viene Quinn, nuevamente, gracias a Sunoco por la oportunidad de traernos aquí. Recuerden que Sunoco está poco a poco llegando a Puerto Rico con su gasolina 94 octanos. Tienen gasolina Racing 85 en algunos lugares disponibles. Eventualmente se va a expandir el availability. Tienen su 87 octanos, tienen mezcla, etcétera. Así es que gracias Sunoco nuevamente por la oportunidad. Hi Quinn, welcome. Hi, how are you? How are you liking Puerto Rico so far?
I love it. It's been fantastic. The weather, like the people here, the food, just the culture, I love it. All of it, it's been amazing. It's been so welcoming here, I love it.
So, to get to know a little about you, what's your favorite style of cars? Maybe like American JDM, Euro, etc.
So when I first got into cars, I was big into Euros, like 90s Euros, and now it's kind of sort of transitioned into the Japanese RX-7s and the Supras, the Skywinds, all that stuff. They're fantastic.
So I bet the California and its car culture is gotten into you, so they're changing you towards the JDM market and stuff.
Yeah, yes and no. The thing with the European cars, like the BMWs, the Audis, all that stuff, is the aftermarket support isn't as good as it is for the JDM cars, so you can stylize them. So I daily drive an E36 M3 still, but my weekend car's an FD. So that's, you gotta love it.
So how you started in Throttle? What got you motivated to join their project? Okay.
So when Throttle was very early, starting like maybe 15, 20,000 subscribers, Evan actually had an E36 M3 and he was looking to turbo it, to put a turbocharger on it. But to do it on those cars, you need to upgrade the head gasket and get stronger head bolts in there to keep the thing from coming apart, So I had my own YouTube channel, mainly doing BMW stuff, like engine builds and all this stuff. And he asked to borrow some tools. He reached out to me because I was local to him. He asked me if he could borrow my tools to fix his car. So I was like, yeah, sure, I gave it to him. And he's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm trying to pull the head off this thing. Can you just come help me? And so then I went down there, knocked it out of the park, fixed the engine, got it dialed in. And he's just like, every time they ran into a problem, say for the following like 2 or 3 years, they would hit me up first, bring me in, have them help out, or have me help them out. And then that would be it. And then one day, Evan just called me. It was like, hey, I need another tech. You're the only guy I thought of. Can you come join? And that was it.
So I take that you're the master engine builder in the team. Do you have any favorite engine?
We've done quite a few. We've done the 4G. We've done a couple of Honda engines, JZ. We did RB26. The JZ is probably my favorite, just because it was like, you know, when you do like an SR or an RB, there's like so many aftermarket parts, which is great, and I love that. But the JZ, like, you throw power at it, it doesn't care. You know, it's just like you're using stock oil pin, stock oil pump. It's making 1,100 horsepower, like. It's insane, and the RB is a fantastic engine, but there's like so many aftermarket parts to make it be able to do that, but the JZ is super strong, and so it's fun.
So I'm curious, was your father a mechanic or an engine builder? How you got started in wrenching, basically?
So my dad is a mechanical engineer. He was not into cars at all. When I was in high school, I didn't make a lot, so I wanted something fast. So I bought the cheapest BMW M3 I could find, and it broke. And I didn't have enough money to go to a mechanic and fix it. So I was like, it's broken. I can't get to school or work anymore. I gotta fix it. So then I learned how to fix it. And then it was just kind of it. Kept going from there.
So you're basically self-taught everything in engine-wise. Okay. And what's been your favorite build in the Throttle series?
Ooh, I'm gonna have to go and say, engine-wise, it's probably a tie between the Supra and the Hellcat Viper we did. The Viper is just such a wild car to drive. The Supra has been a lot of fun because it's not only a full build, but it's been challenging, learning to push the limits of what we can do suspension-wise and how to get the car to hook up and grip, and like implementing more features from the Haltech system has been a lot of fun. So learning the ECU packages a lot better and how to set the car up for drag racing has been a lot of fun. So, but the Viper is just an absolute unit of a car to drive.
Actually, I'm a big V8 guy in American Muscle, so I was waiting for some of you to mention the Viper. It's my favorite build so far of your YouTube.
Okay, so when you're about to do a project, do they take your advice and then go ahead, or no, because of that advice, I'm looking at it engine-wise. You know, if X car has an engine that it's not that good to work on, or do you think it gives a lot of problem, you counter-advise to go with that build, but then maybe another less
Okay, basically he's asking, has sometimes, you know, the team chosen an engine for a project and then you come in and know maybe this engine will be better. Have you have any say in that decision?
Yeah, so we kind of decide all these things as a group, but where I come in more so is when it's like, okay, what kind of power do we want? Like, they were like, all right, we're going to do a JZ, we're going to do RB. It's like, how much power do you want? I want 1,100. Okay, so now I got to go find, what are we gonna do for the head? What are valve springs? What pistons do I want? What compression ratio do I want? So I'm the one speccing the engines. Like, I want this part, I want this part, I want this part. And there are limitations. So we're gonna run like, we have to run a Garrett turbo, we have to run this. So then I just like make the parts, you know? So I'm the one who's actually speccing how the cars are gonna go together from an engine perspective, you know? So it's like.
So I would like to think that the decision to force Tunoco to join you guys, it has a lot to do with you, because you know, you are the one that is saying, oh, okay, so we're going to have 1,000 horsepower. Let's use this fuel. Let's use that oil or something. So how has Sonago worked with your line of thought when doing an engine?
So fueling is 100% everything when it comes to making power. So, yeah, having a fuel and speccing an engine for a specific kind of fuel goes hand in hand with making power, right? So if you have a low compression engine with a small cam in it, you can throw as much boost as you want. It's not going to make a lot of power, right? So making a lot of power safely, you have to have a fuel that you can rely on so it doesn't blow the freaking motor apart, right? Knocking is like, you absolutely don't want that. So especially if you're doing like an E85 and we're going to be running, you know, 35, 40 pound of boost through a big G42 1200, you have to have a fuel that you know you can rely on. And that's how you make the power, you know?
And switching, you know, to the current project, how you like Puerto Rico so far? What's your favorite thing from the island?
I had some really good mofongo last night. Yeah, so good. Yeah, we had Bahia. That was also really good. Yeah, it's good. The RX-7's going really well, man. It's been an absolute blast to be here so far.
And how's it been working with Carlos in his shop here in Puerto Rico?
Carlos is a fantastic host. I love him. Such a good guy. It is a little hot, yeah, but that's not Carlos's fault. But he's been absolutely welcoming. I feel bad. I broke his air compressor. So I'm sorry.
So have you had the chance to look at the car culture in here? And if you've gotten the chance, what do you think about it? Or if maybe you have some idea of what it is and you can maybe share your opinion.
So far, it's been fantastic. I mean, we've kind of been holed up in Carlos's shop, so we haven't really explored the island yet. Tomorrow, we're going to be going out and around and kind of see. And I heard there's drift events happening tomorrow, so we might try and stop by that. Then the following Saturday, we're going to be at Salinas Speedway, so I'm very excited. But just based on this event, absolutely insane. I love it.
No, you're going to love Salinas. It's a front-wheel drive event, if I'm not mistaken. And the guys in the drift yard, which is the event you're going in Arecibo, they got some cool builds too. So
you should get a ride with one of the guys that are down there in Arecibo on the drift yard. They're really good.
When you get there, ask for Pedro and tell him we told you to give him a ride.
I think Pedro is in Puerto Rico. Pedro?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you help?
So I think we're going to bring Carlos, if you don't mind, so he can share your experience with you. Thank you, Quinn.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Carlos.
I've lived in Tulane. Solid Dutch.
In. Marian.
Si, si, si. Robin.
Down on it. You believe in it, Eric.
Me va, Carlos.
Todo.
Bueno, vamos a switchar de nuevo a español. Carlos, cuéntame, ¿cómo ha sido tener a Trotter en tu taller y, verdad, ser el... llevarlo a comer mofongo?
Mano, esto ha sido una experiencia de verdad súper espectacular. Pensar que hace 3 años yo empecé a hacer YouTube porque estaba aburrido y vi a otros YouTubers que hacían lo mismo que yo, que hago en el taller diario, y ver que 3 años después tengo uno de los YouTubers más grandes ahora mismo en el ambiente automotriz en Puerto Rico, en mi taller, trabajando un carro conmigo a la mano, es de verdad algo... que no te puedo expresar, mira, se me paran los pelos y todo hablando aquí.
Entonces, vi el video, vi que le leíste la cartilla de que no te boten la 10 milímetros. Cuéntanos, ¿qué ha sido como que lo más fun de verdad de estar con ellos? Sé que no todos ellos hablan español, sé que tú hablas un poquito de inglés, pero entonces, ¿cómo ha sido ese language barrier? Entonces, para bregar con un carro, ¿cómo tú le explicas a ellos lo que es un palo? Y explicarle que eso es un camshaft.
Mano, gracias a Dios, por lo menos yo hablo bastante inglés. Lo que pasa es que en los videos yo trato de no hablarlo porque mi canal yo lo he tratado de mantener siempre en el latino porque ese es mi enfoque. Pero, mano, esta gente, según ustedes lo ven en los videos, que son unos locos, son así 24/7. Ricky, Queen, todos son unos anormales. De verdad, es algo espectacular. Nos llevamos súper bien desde el día 1 que llegaron al taller y ha sido una experiencia de verdad, súper, de verdad.
Bueno, Carlos, gracias por contarnos la experiencia con Trotter. Aquí vamos terminando este episodio de 0 a 100, sponsored by Sunoco. Vayan a las estaciones de Sunoco. Recuerden que es la única que tiene gasolina 94 octanos. Más octanaje, más power. Tiene sus pilots de E85, tiene sus pilots de otros tipos de productos como la 260 GT, etcétera. Así es que apoyen a Sunoco, gracias por sintonizarnos y gracias a Sunoco nuevamente por la oportunidad de hablar con los chicos de Trotter, de hablar con Carlos y de tener esta experiencia overall. Así es que hasta la próxima.